many years ago, when we met the Lawtons, and I think it began at the Christian school in Little Genesee. Yeah, and through the years, come in contact briefly here or there, and sometimes it may have just been to see you at Walmart or something. But I know we knew each other were around, and some of us are quite around. You caught that. You knew what I meant. Well, you take your Bible in hand for the Dave Lawton. Just think of that. I can only imagine that some memories, you know, come back being here. And I know this isn't your first time to be back here, but nevertheless, you know, as a young person, to be here in the church, and of course, the people that would have been here, and that would have included Jerry Feister, and just to know that you're here. Your life is an influence, okay? We don't always recognize how it's an influence, but it is. And God will use that influence in other people's lives. So Brother Dave, if you'll come and preach for us today.
God bless you, sir.
I'd like to say thank you for inviting me. And the last time I was here, I had 20 minutes. Now I got 40 minutes. You're doubling up on me, buddy.
Yes.
You have your Bibles turned to the book of Philippians. The first chapter, please. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence at this time, Lord, to hear the word of God, we pray that you will speak words that will bring honor and glory to your Son's name. We ask most of all, Lord, that whatever is done or said today, we can remember that you are in control. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we all have together in the house of the Lord without fear or trembling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I say that because I'm very much concerned about thinking about what our country could be in the future if we don't have some people stand up with a backbone.
That's right, sir.
I don't know if you happen to see it or not, but there's been a couple of people that are moved into the Congress and now are Muslims. There's quite a few, and they're just the same. And one of them had the gallbladder to say that she was going to come in and going to get things straightened out. And that was going to become an operation under the way Muslim law is done. And I thought, how brazen you can be.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, where are we? Anybody stand up and challenge her? No, but I would like to say that for every one of us that are here today, we got a reason to thank God that we are children of His, and whatever happens, we know where we're going to end up. There is no doubt in anybody's mind.
Amen.
So I thought of this in the very sense that it was a singleness of the mind in our thinking. That each one of us, and when you think about what it says here, Paul and Timotheus, the servants, and Pastor were just mentioned a few moments ago about servants. And some people thought of servants as being slaves. But you know, really, when you think about the difference between the two, in my mind, there is a difference. Someone say, yeah, I was slave labor growing up at home. Well, no, you weren't. You look back, you wish you could do it all over again. And your mom and dad had a great impact on your life. And you wish, you say, well, I used to get spanked. I used to get whipped. What is that today? It's a thought that, well, that was the bygone days. But you know, that was not a day that I remember when I got one that I didn't deserve a little bit more than what I got.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I was not a perfect child, and I'm not a perfect person yet today. And there's not one of us that can sit here and say that we are perfect, but we can have a singleness in mind in our relationship to Jesus Christ. And Paul and Timotheus had that very act, and they worked together to minister the minute of the Word of God. And as they worked among the many people, when we think of the word, as I mentioned a moment ago, over the difference between a servant and a slave, I believe a servant is one who is willing to do it.
Amen.
Not somebody that is paid or demanded that they do it. And it's so much the same thing, it goes for you and I that have worked out in the public world. I've had bosses that I could just as well said goodbye to, but I needed a paycheck. And let me share you very quickly with you. I was in a machine, did machine work for quite a few years. And I'm running the machine, and I'm doing a cutting job on this 14-foot LeBlanc machine, on a lathe, and the boss, a young lad, about 15 years younger than I, comes snorting back and starts cussing and swearing and damning at me, and I said, whoa, hold the phone, buddy. I walked over and shut the lathe down. I looked him right straight in the face, and I said, you know, there's only one thing you're going to get out of me as good as work. I'm going to do my best, but I'm not going to take any cussing and swearing. And as long as I work here, you got to get that straight. Now, let me share, I wasn't being bragging on it. It's just something I don't believe in.
Amen. That's good.
And I like to think that we as individuals, when we were, now I enjoyed working for him afterwards because he treated me decently.
Amen.
He was very pleasant. I could ask him questions about, well, how do you want a, you want a special material? You want a different cut, or what do you want? And he was very pleasant about that, and I much appreciate that. And so going from a slave to a servant was altogether a different atmosphere. And when we think of this, this is one of the things that we can serve as a servant. We can serve without any pressure. You're not pressured into doing things for the Lord. You are asked to do them. And someone asked me, well, it was earlier in the week, my wife and I, we had done mission work, and we've worked at Odisega, even after the pastorates. Been to Russia 8 times, been to Ukraine 1 time. Been to Alaska to serve at Kingdom Air Corps as a cook, as a chef. And you know, we loved it. She hasn't been to Russia. She doesn't fly, but that's all right. She prayed for me along with the rest. But I'm saying that is I love serving people. And it's been part of my life. I've never, I guess I got that very fact from the ladies and men in our church that I grew up in. Right underneath where that light hangs, there used to be a register. And they had the old furnace down in the basement. And the deacon, he would control the heat. He might change it during his sermon, get up and change the heat because it's getting too hot. Somebody put on too much coal down there. And I think there's a couple ladies here can remember that person. And they got to because they're older than I am.
Oh my.
Woo-wee. Their hair hasn't got white yet. But all in fun, when you think about it, young people, as you come here and I see each one of you, and God's blessed me. I'm glad to see you. Because when our churches were growing up, I believe I'm pretty close. We used to have maybe 75 to 100 people here. And when the young people came in, we were participated in the different holidays of the year. And it was great. I still once in a while think about each of us as we had parts to learn and to reminisce. And you know, and it's a part of our life. I'm delighted for what you're doing and how you're being active for the Lord as you're part of a servant for Jesus Christ. And that's one of the joyous things that we as individuals have. Our service for the Lord is seen in all times. It should be the same. No matter who the person is we see or we work with or we talk with, it should be, we should be on as it is an even keel. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be having high spirits and low spirits toward attitudes and people. You know, the difference is it's seen in the public. People see you and I when we walk the streets. They know all about us. You may not know who they are, but they'll walk up, oh, I know who you are.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Then you sort of quiver inside. I wonder, is that a good thing they remember, or is that a bad thing they remember? So, you know, that's one of the things. If you don't do it wrong to begin with, you won't have to worry about facing up to the music.
Oh, that's right.
And I know that as a teenager and when I had one of my first cars, I was rather a tormentor of young people here. I had a nice car out in front and I had ooga horns put on it. And all the young people, they were toddlers and above, they knew where all three buttons were at. They'd be out there blowing those horns after church. And of course that was an aggravation to the parents. I didn't mean it to be, but I wanted it to be fun for them. And guess what? I don't have any of those, but I have one yet. But the whole thing of it is, these kids that I remember that were younger than I miss seeing them in church. I do. Sandy and Beverly have been very faithful. I need a gold star. Maybe God will give it to them, right? That seat's been the same one, right? Hasn't changed, right? You know, it's like when they go, that seat's going.
Yeah.
But that's what we call faithfulness.
Amen.
When those doors opened, you can see people there. I can see them in my mind. They were always here. There's certain people, like we're mentioning Mrs. Feister today. She always sat in that third seat back, right in there with her grandchildren. And when her grandchildren, well, I watched them come along as a big child, small ones. Now they're big boys. But what I'm saying is, not only was she one, but I can name many others. There was Grandma Schaefer, who lived across the street, finally. You know, and I can name the parents of people. I was thinking about that. I was telling Pastor, I hate to start because I'm going to miss somebody. But I have great respect because there's those of our church that would call you on something if you didn't live properly, something you weren't doing right. I don't know. I don't mean to reminisce. If I said it before, you can just ignore it. But I remember being in fifth grade here in this church and being one of God's children. I was born again. I did know the Lord. I was with a group of boys up there by the old bus garage. And they had cigarettes. And my Sunday school teacher that I'd had was walking across the highway coming home, and he spotted us. And he walks right up through those maple trees. There was three rows of maple trees out there at that time. And I'm just beginning to, I was thinking, where am I going to be? He comes to me and I felt like he talked to me. He said, boys, are you doing what you should be? Should you be doing that? And my first one to speak was, I'm not smoking. Well, you're with them. And I'd heard it before. You got to learn to fly by yourself. You don't need a crowd to carry you through.
That's good.
And that's where you're at, young people. You got to be able to stand up,
yes,
and speak up.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And be different.
Exactly right.
And I'm sure that if you are here today and then you haven't trusted the Lord, you haven't yet the time to come for you to believe the Lord, trust in the Lord as your Savior. But I remember the day that I trusted the Lord as my Savior at 9 years of age, and I was down at they had a big tent meeting in Olean, where Cutco is now at, right across from the Dodge Garage. And there was a lady in the back that took us down and sat in the back seat. She had a a 34 Chevy with suicide doors on. And all of us children are in that car, and we go down there. And we're standing back, and the man was preaching about going to hell and what it's going to be like. And I can feel gripping the back of that seat. And she's saying, no, I don't want to do it. She said, David, do you want to make a decision for the Lord? And I said, I want to go to heaven. You know the old sawdust trails? Well, down the sawdust trail we went. And I trusted the Lord that day. And so I'm very thankful for the elder people that taught me. And I hope and pray that you pay attention to the elders in your life. I don't care who if the person is the same age as I am or not, it doesn't matter. If they can instruct me in something, I'll bring honor to the Lord. That's fantastic. But you know, as it says there, the bishops and the deacons that they were speaking to and there, those are the men that are responsible for the spiritual leadership of their church, of their organization. And that's one of the things that I always found as being very important. If you want responsibility, you have to prove yourself to be responsible. And this is one of the things that as young people and adults, we're always facing. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And when I'm speaking of this, the idea that prayer life should involve more than just you and I, you and your family. It should involve other people.
That's right.
Now, we're one of these couples that have made many friends, have met many missionaries around the whole world. And we have a large list.
Amen.
And we thank God for every one of them. And why do I say that? Because they're part of the family of God. Every one of you, this church. And I like what our pastor has said many times, sir, we attend. He said, we're not the only church in Allegheny County. We're going to be praying for all the churches that preach the gospel. You know, and that sort of makes some people think, well, aren't we different? No. Everybody. They all preach the gospel. We can't all do it at the same time. And I think of that, how it was an encouragement to hear it from your pastor, that it was not the only one, that there's others that need that can do the job too.
Amen.
That's why we're all part of the family of God. Even thinking of praying for those people that are in office of our government, the whole works, you can know of some of them coming to know the Lord. And I often wonder about that in my own mind. If we see this happen during my lifetime, that we'd hear of a conversion, a revival taking place within our country. I would so be delighted, whoever the speakers are, the preachers or whatever, that they would share in the idea of praying, that somebody would step on to say, let's pray for our nation, let's pray for our churches, let's pray for our pastors. You know, it really is necessary that we think about the word prayer. It's not just a one-time thing. I'm a firm believer that prayer is something you're going to be thinking about when you walk down the street. You can be praying and thinking about it. You can be driving your vehicle. You can be praying for somebody as you're driving.
Amen.
You know, it's just one of those things. You don't have to be back in your own little cubby hole in the back door here where the pastor's office is at, or it was. You know, I just see this in this manner, that we as individuals need to be at a time in which we can always be ready to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the lives of others that serve Him. Notice here, also here says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where can you get to find a greater peace than knowing that you're praying to the Father, the Creator, the Sustainer of your life, the life of other people, and His Son is the one who gave Himself to be our Savior. When you think about what He gave for us, that we might have life eternal in heaven and where we came from, may I ask a question? Where will you be one moment after you pass from this earth?
Amen.
Do you know where that'll be? If you don't, you need to find out.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There's another person, we mentioned about praying for other people. There's a couple that we met last summer up in Alaska. Young couple, he's vice president of Kingdom Air Corps. And he and his wife have been married for 4 years. And they wanted a family. And they've been praying for 4 years for children. They've been to doctors and said, no, it's not possible. You're not going to have any children. No, you can't have them. Jan and I said, well, we're going to pray for them too. We were blessed. She got a witness on the Facebook from her. I am in the family way.
I like it. Wow.
So you can say, thank you, God.
Amen. Yeah, amen, brother. Yeah. Good.
there are so many people that think that God isn't powerful, but God can do it all. We just got to have faith and we got to have the endurance. It may not happen as soon as we want it, but He knows when. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. So we need to be in a spirit of praying and remembering that those that have gone on before are the ones that we have to model after, that those following us will be walking in the right direction. Yeah, I realize not everybody will agree with us, but we can't expect them to. But I believe that in time they'll change their mind. I remember, let me share with you this, and you invite people to church, and I hope and pray you do. I want to share an illustration from one of the pastors that we had. A man was in Texas. The deacon came in and sat down in our living room, and we're talking and sharing things about how the church is going, what we could do. And he was well up in his years. I'm in my 40s at the time. And he says, Pastor, you know what? I think we should go over there and shut the doors and let people go to hell. I says, Vic, you do not feel that way. That's not you. But he says, no, Pastor, but he says, I know everybody in Lipscomb County. I have shared Christ with them, and they don't pay me any mind. I said, you don't feel that way. No, he said, I don't. He said, I get carried away at times in my thought. About a year and a half later, I had this funeral. His wife sat down in the front row. And it was too many people to come to our church, which would hold about 100. We had to go to the neighboring town with 250 people. And Valentine had come and said to me, she said, now, Pastor, I want you to do one thing. I want you to preach the gospel to them. That's what's necessary. That church would have held about 250, plus it had people standing, sometimes two abreast in the back, halfway around the church. And I was able to minister the gospel, and I was able to take my hand and go around and say, every one of you in this audience today has heard the gospel from Vic, who you're here to remember him in memorial, and you are now responsible for what you heard from him and what you're now hearing today. And there was a couple in there, one couple in there especially, they were just Go for it. Go for it. Now, I do not know how many of those men and women came to know the Lord. And I don't know how many were Christians, because there were some other Christians in the area. But I do know one thing for sure, that if he would have been able to have been there, he would have been one happy man to hear what was said. And his wife, she was delighted beyond measure. If you could have only seen her, you'd have thought she was a cheerleader at a ball game or something. She just couldn't, she couldn't sit still, had her arms a-going. Oh, you know, punch it in. That winds up a preacher. It just gives them more gas. And when we think on all these good things that take place, we look a little bit further here in this verse, these verses, and it says, "And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Now, I hope and pray that when you meet somebody and you haven't met in some time, and you say, "Well, I've been praying for you." Maybe they're going to say, "Well, I came to know the Lord." Mm-hmm. That happened to my wife and I. My wife worked in a factory. She was a secretary. She had to go out once in a while out into the factory with some papers, and she didn't like what she had to see it behind one of the men's toolboxes. And I said, "Well," I said, "I don't know whether he'll ever change." He was in his, probably his 30s and 40s at that time. We visited a church, and they called for the chair at Christmas time to a Christmas program as we were invited. And all of a sudden, this guy, they call his name, and he starts walking down the aisle, all dressed in his shirt, tie, and suit, and the whole works. And I go, "Really? Has something gone wrong with this church? What's happened to this church? It can't be." He went ahead with his job, in which he had as a chairman of the trustees, and I was broke right down. I couldn't hold it. I went up to see him and I said, "I never would have believed you'd ever trust the Lord."
Amen.
It was that. I was convinced that he wouldn't. God proved me wrong. Hallelujah. So, please don't give up on somebody when you think about them and you pray for them. The time will come. Because they can become part of the family as you already are. And prayer time, as I've mentioned, is all the time, anytime. But also notice down here in verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you know the good work God has performed in your life other than bringing you to salvation? He's given you some knowledge of the scriptures. He's given you people that love you. And you have an opportunity to go out there and to serve the Lord in whatever job you do. Yeah, we need preachers. Yeah, we need missionaries. But we need Christians on the job. And those Christians are the ones that are going to bring more sheep, as it were, into the fold. The preacher's not the one who brings them in. I mean, I had a phone call one time, and a guy asked me, "As a pastor," and I said, "No." I said, "You want a church, but what about the rest?" And I said, "When do you show up for church?" "Oh, once in a while." I said, "Hey, I'm not going to build a church for anybody. I'm building it for the Lord." You know, and that's what it's all about. It's thinking about it's for the Lord, it's not for us. And when you think about the Apostle Paul and how he went over his, you'll get there someday, young people. And when he started to reenact his salvation of things that he'd been through, how he'd been through and jailed, and he'd had shipwreck, and he'd been beaten, and all this. And all this had taken place in Paul's life. But for me, and when I think about it, was the day that he was on the road to Damascus. And he heard the voice from heaven, and only he heard it. No one else. And then he had a bright light. He lost his eyesight. He got God got his attention.
Amen.
You know, and God does get people's attention by a different manner. And I'd like to have you think about it. Many times you've heard the knowledge of the word. You have the responsibility to serve the Lord. I'm going to move you over to Philippians 1, 20 and 21. This happens to be my life verses that I like. Of course, Philippians happens to be my favorite book. I don't know why. I just do. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I would like to have you think of that. That's my purpose, my thought in my mind, is that there's nothing in this world that attracts me or that I need. I would much rather be serving the Lord and doing something for the Lord. And I hope and pray that you'll have a feeling of a similar nature, that you'll want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
You'll want to move out into the world and say, and be different, not have to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that there isn't a plant in this country that you go to that you won't be different if you're a Christian who stands up for what you believe and are able to do that. Or if you're parents who stand up for your children, and you call the shots as to what's going to happen in their life in the school.
Amen.
We're nothing out of the ordinary, but we started our home and our family. It all started with one thought in mind. There's going to be a family night is Friday night. We ran into problems several times. Then we ran into the problem when we moved back into the East, and our children are in school, in high school. They did well. They did well in their music. And when the teacher and their band director said to our one son, "You got a special." Well, guess what he wanted to do? He called it for Wednesday night, and I said, "Son, remember. I remember, Dad. I'll be in church."
That's right.
And that night was supposed to be the big concert, and we had a big snowstorm in Richburg.
Hey.
I mean, a big snowstorm. I forget how many inches of snow. They canceled it. So they had it the next day. And the pride of the teacher or director was such great that the students all got together and said, "We want Mark to play his horn on that number." He said, "He's not going to play it. He wouldn't do it when I wanted him to. He won't do it." Mark wasn't brokenhearted, and we weren't brokenhearted.
Amen.
Because we knew what had happened to the rest.
Amen.
We had a son who loved to play soccer. Wrestling. And he was very good at it, and his coach said, "We're going to have it on Wednesday night." Well, Brian said, "I won't be there."
Amen.
And he says, "That's our church night." So he said, "Well, what time can you be there?" And the coach arranged the matches at the Bolivar School for him to wrestle either prior to church or after church.
Amen.
It was not during that time. And I much appreciated it, and I think the coach did, but I know that ended up giving a good Yeah, it's a building block in our children's lives by seeing that stand.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying that these adults in this church here now, and those that have been here before that sat in those same pews, have left an impact on my life.
Amen.
And they're going to leave an impact on your life.
Amen.
And Jerry Feister, as we've mentioned here, the dedication of that new window, how nice it is. She was one of those ladies that if you could mark the clock, and she'd be here. Not 10 minutes later, whatever. Right, Sandy Beverly? She was always here on time. And we had many of the people that were always punctual, and church was important.
Amen.
We'd be here for Sunday school and be here for church. And my parents did not come to know the Lord until three years after I was saved. And somebody may remember, Sandy and Beverly might remember the man's name. His name is Ray Cutchin. He was a former salesman. And of course, my dad being here didn't know the Lord, and neither did my mother, and I don't know who invited him. But I wasn't here that night. I was working over at Uncle Bruce's across the valley. And Daddy is often remembered about sharing that with people about how he knew. Yet he had grown up as a child in a Methodist church in Pennsylvania. And never went to church, never forced to go to church, only if you wanted to. And the best way to have you learn or your children learn is to say, you're in my house, we honor the Lord, you will be here.
I like that. Yes, sir.
And you're not going to have a lot of whimpering over it. They find out that you love them enough to see to it that they're in church. It's going to be fantastic results. Who knows how many of you here today are going to be pastors or teachers or missionaries, some form of foil. God's going to deal in your heart. It won't be me. It'll be God's word.
Amen.
And I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity. And I wish each and every one of you that to be dedicated to the Lord. I know that we have dedication services for babies when they're young, but there's nothing wrong with you saying today, I will dedicate my life and serve the Lord.
I like it. Amen.
So if the Lord moves you to so do, you think about that as I pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share. As rough and crude as it may be, but Lord, we know that it's the Word of God, and you've dealt in men's lives and the Scriptures, you've dealt in our lives. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you'll continue to deal. Father, may we be moved and motivated to be dedicated to our church, to the services that you have for us, Lord, whether it be on whatever it be that honors you. Just move us, Lord. Honor you, I pray. In my Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
David Locke, thank you very much. God bless you, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Before you leave, I'd like to have a picture of you and your wife and Dale and Amy. The only two that have so far been called to preach out this church, so we'll do that in a little bit, all right? Like the wife and the two of you together. But